Hi, welcome to Whiskey Cast, the Cask Strength podcast featuring news and interviews from the world of whiskey. I'm Mark Gillespie. This is episode number 44 for June 10th, 2006. Coming up in a few minutes, we'll look at how a group of distillery executives decided to challenge themselves for charity.
We actually ended up running down bits, the bits that we could run down safely anyway, and they made it with 6 minutes. So we hadn't, looking back on it, you realize that, you know, if we'd stopped for another pee break on the motorway, or there'd been a traffic light that held us up for 3 or 4 minutes or whatever, we'd have struggled and we possibly wouldn't have made it. It's that tight. But it made it more exciting.
That's Neil McKinley of Inverhouse, who led a team of co-workers on the UK's Three Peaks Challenge last Friday, climbing the highest peaks in England, Scotland, and Wales, and doing it in just 24 hours. First, let's look at the news, and we'll start with a correction this time around. In episode 43, I highlighted the new website for the Whiskey Live South Africa Festival events coming up this November. However, I was wrong to say that tickets have already gone on sale. That won't happen until September, but the site now has a thriving chat forum of South African whiskey lovers, and there's a link at the WhiskeyCast website. Ireland's Cooley Distillery is releasing a new single-grain whiskey. Most grain whiskeys wind up in blends, and it's the same for Cooley. But Jack Teeling says the team at Cooley has been kicking this idea around for a while.
We'll be starting out with an 8-year-old this year, but over the next couple of years we'll be bringing out another small batches just to reflect the different inventory levels that we have. So we bring out a 10-year-old, we're going to be bringing out a 16-year-old, and then we're going to be bringing out an 18-year-old. And this is really experiment on our side, just to see how the whiskey, like, you know, the 8-year-old, we're very happy with. It's come out really well. And we've tried some of the older ages, but we're going to really go on a bit of a taste experience with consumers out there, just to see how the single-use bourbon cask really interacts with our single-grain whiskey. So we're very excited about it, and hopefully consumers will be as well.
Greenore will only be available in Ireland and the UK at first, and may be available in the US in time for the holidays, but only 5,000 bottles of the 8-year-old whiskey are being produced. Fishermen in 13 U.S. states could have a chance to win $25,000 in a contest sponsored by Early Times Whiskey. 50 bass have been tagged in one lake in each state, and one of those tags will be worth the $25,000 prize. There's a link for more details at WhiskeyCast.com. On the book front, blogger Kevin Erskine has just published the second edition of The Instant Expert's Guide to Single Malt Scotch. Erskine is behind the Scotch blog and wrote the guide last year to help novices learn more about the complexities of single malts.
If you're like me, when you first started getting into this stuff, if you didn't have somebody holding your hands, it can be very confusing, right? And every time you go to the bookstore, every new book that comes out, the books are full of tasting notes and distillery information, and that's great for someone like you or me or someone who's into this stuff. But for someone who doesn't know where to start, the tasting notes are not going to help them, or finding out about the history of Ardbeg is really not going to help them. So when I wrote the book, I decided somebody who's just getting into the stuff just wants to know the absolute basics. That way they can understand whiskey a little bit, they can start to develop a palate, and then they can go pick up a Michael Jackson or a Jim Murray book and start to differentiate, you know, between the different whiskeys. But the idea behind this is someone who just is just starting out and doesn't know where to start and doesn't want to just randomly, you know, start pulling things off a shelf and, you know, and doesn't understand what whiskey is.
The book is available through Dossion Press, as well as Amazon.com and other booksellers. On the events calendar, the Kentucky Bourbon Festival's sampler preview will be in Frankfort next Saturday. Park East Grill in New York City will hold a single malt tasting dinner on Monday, June 26th. If you'll be in Speyside during August, bourbon distiller Julian Van Winkle will hold a special tasting at the Craigellachie Hotel on August 16th. And the entry deadline for Cadenhead's annual Malt Whiskey Nosing Challenge is August 18th. You'll find a complete list of upcoming events at the WhiskeyCast website. Whiskey and charity seem to go hand in hand. special whiskey auctions raise thousands of dollars for charities every year, and whiskey lovers usually find a creative way to help those in need. A team of five Inverhouse executives decided to raise money for Children First, the Royal Scottish Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Children. Their goal, to complete the Three Peaks Challenge by climbing the highest peaks in Scotland, England, and Wales, and do it in under 24 hours. Neil McKinley came up with the idea.
Generally, when people try this, they start at Ben Nevis, which is obviously the highest in the UK, and then they go to Scafell Pike, which is the highest in England, and then they finish off at Snowdon, the highest one in Wales. We wanted to finish on home turf, as it were, so we started in Snowdon and then drove to Scafell Pike in the Lake District, which is in some respects possibly the hardest climb, in that it's a difficult one to navigate on, particularly if there's poor visibility because there's not an obvious track up to the summit. You've got to be quite careful you actually get the right hilltop. And then we finished on Ben Nevis, which is by far the highest. It's 4,500 feet, and you're starting virtually from sea level. So it's a long, hard slog, and to finish on it was tough. But as I say, we wanted to finish on home turf, so we decided to do it that way.
Why did you decide to do it at all? What's the challenge for this?
I saw something on a website last year, about last June or July, about this challenge, and I'd been looking to do some form of a challenge for 2 or 3 years. I've done one or two things before, and hadn't done anything for a bit, and wanted to get back out into the hills and get fit again, and thought there'd be some like-minded folk within the company here. So before I knew it, we had a team up and running, and this was just an obvious one to have a go for. It was going to be difficult, yet achievable, not dangerous, but tough, and meant that we could all get out as a team and do some good training walks together. And as I say, that obviously trying to raise some money for the charity Children First.
Inverhouse's Enoch Whiskey provided sponsorship for the challenge, and company executives threw their support behind the team. They saw it as not only good for Children First, but good for the company as well.
There's no doubt you get to know each other pretty well, being cooped up in a car for 10-plus hours, for one thing, when, you know, there's no time for showering or anything. It's straight off the mountain, get the boots off, try and grab some kip in the car, and then start the next hill. So, yeah, you get to know each other pretty well. And it's a bond. It creates a bond that will never be broken. Great. Very, very good for team building. So, no, it's good. Really enjoyed it.
And let's make sure we give some credit to the other guys on the team.
Absolutely. They're, Roger Hall, who they say he's our chief financial officer. He's a fairly fit guy. I know he plays a lot of hockey and runs. But it's a different kind of fitness for this. It's more stamina, obviously, than short bursts. So it was a learning curve for him as well. Chris O'Rourke, who looks after regional sales manager for Scotland. He, again, fairly fit guy to start with, but again, more running than walking and climbing. He's done marathons and 10Ks and things. Graham McWilliam, who looks after our five distilleries, golfer, but again has done quite a bit of walking in the past, and so, you know, knows the hills and was keen to get out again. And Rowan the Acotcher McKenzie, who is a Scot despite the Basque sounding name. He looks after Russia for us and the former Soviet bloc on the sales side. Again, he's done one or two things like this before. He's done the Caledonian Challenge, which is basically, I think it's walking 50 miles within 24 hours on the flat. It's not climbing mountains, but again, a fairly serious bit of walking. So, and we had Kevin, our security guy here at Inverhouse, Kevin Goddier, who volunteered to do the driving for us. He was well up. He said he would have been up to do the challenge if he'd been 10 years younger. He's ex-army. He was just desperate to get involved in any way possible. So that took a huge load off us, because it meant the rest of us didn't have to worry about driving, which was obviously key.
That's because the mountains are about 450 miles apart, and Kevin Gaudier's right foot made it possible for the team to complete the challenge last Friday with just 6 minutes to spare.
We got to the top of Ben Nevis at 7:30 in the morning, and having started Snowdon at 9:30 the previous day, we had to get down off Ben Nevis in 2 hours to make the 24-hour timescale. And it was very low cloud on Ben Nevis, and it's quite a dangerous summit in that if you walk straight from the trig point, the summit point, back to the path, there's actually a big gully in the way, which I don't know the drop, but it's probably at least 500-600 feet, maybe more, with a snow overhang, and it's very difficult to see. So you've got to be quite careful navigating off the top in poor visibility. But thankfully, we'd done Ben Nevis as a training climb 3 or 4 weeks ago. So we knew, we had a mental image in our mind of what the summit looked like. And so we were able to navigate off slower than we would have liked. We would have preferred clear visibility. It would have given us a bit more time to get down. But we got off the edge and onto the path with about an hour and a half to get to the bottom. And we actually ended up running down bits. The bits that we could run down safely anyway, and they made it with 6 minutes. So we hadn't, looking back on it, you realize that, you know, if we'd stopped for another pee break on the motorway, or there'd been a traffic light that held us up for 3 or 4 minutes or whatever, we'd have struggled, and we possibly wouldn't have made it. It's that tight. But it made it more exciting.
McKinley and his team had hoped to raise £5,000 for Children First, but as of now they've raised more than £11,000, or about $20,000.
We were talking on the way down, right, what do we do next? And we don't know. We need to get in the black as regards brownie points with wives and partners first, and then we'll think about the next one. Because we've taken quite a lot of time away from home doing training and things, so hugely appreciated to the other halves for being so supportive. So we'll give it a while, and we'll think of the next one soon.
Trust me on this one; those brownie points can be important. On that point, this is the first episode to come from the newly remodeled Whiskey Cast studio, a move that was sorely needed and much welcomed. The full story is available at whiskeycast.com, where you'll also find links to many of the stories in this episode, as well as a complete archive of past episodes. That's all for this edition of Whiskey Cast. Whiskey Cast is a production of MG Media, copyright 2006, and comes to you from the charming, yet regrettably dry town of Haddonfield, New Jersey. I'm Mark Gillespie, reminding you that when you drink, please drink responsibly. Thanks for listening.